because
I fucked
up the beginning. Pause again.
Well, welcome to Sun Granny Audio number 129. This is Jeremy, and the interrupting cow on the other end is Kevin. Hey, what's going on, man?
I believe this is going to be the other question. We may as well get the big news out of the way, or the small news out of the way. That's the best way to work that one. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, we can go right into it with our failures, and we can talk about Raw first. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, you know.
We can talk about the WWE's non-failures in a second.
Okay.
You know, fuck, we may as well get this out of the way instead of ending on some shitty note. By the end of the week, at the earliest, we will be taking down stuntgranny.net since it does not get visited very much, our fine message board.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like there are one too many social media meeting places, and it got forgotten even by most of the Stunt Granny crew, unfortunately.
Yeah, so it was a polite way of saying general lack of interest. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, when you can find, you know, the nude pictures of women pretty much everywhere, it's kind of hard to argue, you know.
That's true. So, it's not a big deal. None of us are heartbroken over it, so this is like,
At the longest, we will let it slide until the domain name expires, and honestly, even though I've paid for it the last 2 years, I'm not completely sure. When that is.
Yeah, so.
So,
if you guys enjoyed going there, sorry, it's gone. It'll be gone. You can still, you know, post your thoughts during a comment. We also have a Twitter account, you know, Stunt Granny, or at Stunt Granny. So if you ever want to get a hold of us there, just use that. So, there you go. So, whatever.
Yep. Move on to the next thing.
Yeah. All right. So now that really awkward introduction to the show is done, let's talk about Raw. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember. Did anything about TNA get covered? If not, it's not a big deal because we're not going to do that here. So.
No, we didn't. Dusty and I ended up pretty much avoiding that aside from talking about Sting and Kevin Nash, but we never really addressed TNA itself.
Okay, well, cool. All right, so on Monday Night Raw, they continued the road to WrestleMania, if you want to. They hyped the show earlier in the day on WWE's site, and of course the other wrestling sites and Twitter, and that picked it up, that Vince McMahon was returning to TV. I guess we'll kind of go, if we can remember this, we'll go in chronological order. Which I'm sure means we're going to forget it in a couple minutes. So they hyped McMahon's return. You know, it's the first time he's been on TV in over a year, and this and this and this. And you're like, oh, okay, something big's got to be going down. At least you expected it to, didn't you? I mean,
I heard Vince McMahon coming back, and honestly, I was in the midst of doing way too much work when I saw the news. I figured it's going to be something big, and I suppose it could potentially be big, but announcing that there's going to be an announcement really just strikes me that it's kind of asinine.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those, oh, by the way, well, no, it's not. It's different than a news report that gets out before the news report actually gets out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he signed a contract. What? The team hasn't said anything about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he signed a contract.
At
least then you get to know the numbers.
it was just an odd segment. He comes out to start the show, and like the crowd was cheering, and but it wasn't. I don't think it was the over enthusiastic cheer he was expecting. I mean, I honestly think he was expecting, like, this huge ovation, and he was going to be able to milk it for a while. I mean, it was polite, but it certainly wasn't giant.
Oh, really?
And then,
yeah, no. I missed at least a little bit of it because I was watching the Pitt-West Virginia game, and I flipped long enough to hear him say that next week they were going to announce the WrestleMania guest host, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I just flipped back to the game.
Yeah, and that was it. And then was it Randy Orton's year that started? And Orton, you know, they didn't play up any of the history with Orton and McMahon, not even an acknowledgement. Orton just walks down and McMahon walks away, and you're like, is that seriously it? I mean, why would you bring McMahon back on TV for 10 minutes? Maybe 10 minutes? And have him say absolutely nothing? After him basically being almost, having him in critical condition and in a vegetative state or whatever for over a year.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they just want to go, all right, just forget about that. This is what's going on now. You know, like they're getting away from the Mr. McMahon character, and they was just supposed to be, Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon.
You know, they try to do that stuff. So.
Yeah,
I suppose
that's the line of thinking.
But, all right, so I guess if this is the obligatory speculation part of it, first, who do you think it'll be, and then why do you think they need a guest host for WrestleMania?
They don't, to answer the second question first. I don't have any problems with it, I suppose. You know, I mean, not to say that it's going to happen, but if you do someone like Bob Uecker who can kind of take it with a laugh and do some interviews and whatnot, I think it could add to the show. You know, I do understand that the wrestlers are now the stars.
Yeah.
But, there's no reason not to add extra star power as they have, in the recent past here with the likes of Trump and Mayweather and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. I guess one thing, obviously the first one that came to mind that I read, and I was just trying to figure out, I guess I was just kind of dumbfounded about this whole announcement thing, but the more I looked around, the more I saw people were mentioning that it could be The Rock hosting WrestleMania.
Oh.
I know it'd be popular, but wouldn't he kind of overshadow everything that's going on with the card? I guess it depends on how often he's used, but,
Well, he's been pretty hard and fast that he is not coming back full-time. So the speculation that he would be coming back, I think, would be more of the thing that would overshadow an event like that. You know, I think the event itself is, bigger than The Rock. So I think they could survive it with him being the host. Now, I just kind of naturally thought that a little closer to Atlanta there and thought that maybe one Mr. Bill Goldberg would end up being the host of WrestleMania. So, I guess it doesn't matter one way or the other. Like, I'm kind of going back to your point. The Rock could overshadow if they put him in too many segments with people. Like, my whole Bob Uecker analogy, that's completely out the door with The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, he can't just sit there and be quiet and interview people. Like, that kind of, like, if you want a host, you need to have a host. Goldberg's been gone long enough that I think he could do the host thing. And that, and he was never spectacular on the mic. So I don't think people will be expecting that out of him.
Yeah, and he's been, and he was the host, I can't remember what TV show it was. He was the host of a TV show.
Yeah, on Speed TV, Bull Run or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah.
It was some driving show where it was some driving rat race type show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. The whole guest host thing just kind of threw me for a loop, and The Rock was the only name mentioned that I saw, and I'm like, you know, Goldberg would be fine, but it just, I go to your point that the event itself doesn't need a host. It doesn't need to have a big name host unless, you know, they're worried about, I mean, I haven't seen anything about ticket sales or anything, or pay-per-view buys for that matter, you know. I guess they wouldn't now anyway, so it sounds stupid, but maybe they're worried about pay-per-view buys being low, so they're trying to, you know, get a big name in to, you know, bump it up. So the people at home are like, oh, sweet, we get to watch The Rock for, you know, 30 minutes total, you know.
Right.
So I don't know. It was just an odd thing, and it just made a whole segment. I mean, that revelation just made an entirely odd segment even odder. You waste McMahon coming out, and then you say, oh, I mean, you basically use McMahon to announce an odd announcement. So, I mean, but at least they're not dicking around. They're going to announce it next week. Ooh, I just thought of this. Let me look up something real quick. So anyway, I'm going to look up a movie here.
Yeah, no, I honestly, what was I going to say? You know, if McMahon had just come out next week to just introduce the guest host,
mm-hmm.
I see no problem with that. You know, then it makes things a lot less awkward and a lot less strange. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Damn, still looking up something here. I have a theory, and I'm trying to
okay,
figure
well,
out.
That's why I was trying to fill in a little extra time there. But that did not work out very well.
Goddamn bastards. Where is WrestleMania? It's the 2nd of April, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Fast and the Furious 5, or 5 Fast, or Fast 5, whatever it's called, comes out April 29th.
Oh.
You know, and The Rock is the main protagonist in it. So, I can't see WrestleMania being used as a vehicle to sell a movie, though. But it would also make sense if The Rock would get that much exposure. And, you know, if they announce, say they announce it next week, all right? When they announce it next week, say it's him, they've got 2 months of free publicity, you know, hosted by Fast Five or Five Fast, whatever, star The Rock.
Yeah, that's a good call on that one.
Yeah, which, I mean, well, little kids don't really go and see Fast and the Furious movies, even though it's who they're made for, really. But, huh. So, all right. So there's that. That was a big revelation that took way too long to find. All right. So, next segment, they actually brought up CM Punk and Randy Orton. This was a good segment, but it kind of broke some of the rules that WWE has, like, finally established. Because they used history in it.
Yeah, and after that was kind of funny because I had thought about the Orton thing too. Right after they had ignored history with Randy Orton, they definitely played up history with Randy Orton.
Yeah. I mean, they even went and showed Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes, and do you remember the other guy's name?
Oh, I was going to say Manu.
Yeah. Hey, wow, nice. All right,
yeah,
that's who it was. Holy shit.
I was thinking about that last night. I'm like, what the fuck was his name? Like, I actually, you know, thought to myself for a little bit.
Wow, that's how quickly I forgot that nobody. So,
Wow, that's amazing. I'm just kind of dumbfounded right now. But anyway, but it was just odd because they showed that, and then also, you know, Randy Orton beating on Kofi Kingston, which was kind of a strange thing because back then Randy Orton was the heel. And the only guys, I mean, and it's just funny because the only people in that segment that have changed at all are Randy Orton and CM Punk. They just flipped sides. But it was just so weird that they never acknowledge history.
And acknowledge it correctly. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't like they completely fucked it up or anything like that. No, they actually, made sense why CM Punk attacked him. It made sense. I was like, wow, yeah, he cost him the championship. Okay, you know, why wouldn't you be pissed at a guy who cost you your first championship?
Yeah, and then got divided up on another show for years. You know, so, yeah, it was... I was very surprised. I liked it, and I like Punk's explanation. You know, I've very good patience. But does that go back to who CM Punk was talking about at his Slammy Awards thing? Because I thought that was supposed to be John Cena, but apparently it was Randy Orton the entire time.
Evidently, that's the way I'd take it.
Okay.
Because I mean, he really did have very little to do with Cena, honestly. Like, they kind of wrapped up and put a bow tie on the whole Cena Nexus angle right after Punk came back.
Yeah, and they sure did last night, too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just, I guess it's just weird when WWE actually, you know, I almost said does something right, but that's not what I'm looking for. Just does something right. I mean, they planted the seed and then followed through with it. So it was like, wow, maybe that's why it was such a hard angle to wrap your head around. Well, at least for me it is. So.
Because what was that, like 2 years ago or something?
If I remember right, was that Elimination Chamber? I can't remember what pay-per-view it said it was offhand. But they just said it was 2008.
Okay, yeah.
So,
well, I guess 3 years then.
Yeah, so yeah, it was roughly, you know, almost 3 years ago, we'll say, depending on when it happened.
I think it was around the same time frame because... Didn't he win it in, you know, I think he was one of the first guys here that won it late in the year, and they just kind of gave him a run for a couple of months, and then they took it away from him before, 4 months. Is that how he won the, yeah, and that's when he won the second Money in the Bank, I think.
I'm at a loss. I don't remember. I just don't remember. I guess I should have looked it up. But, oh well.
Yeah.
But anyways, I guess the important part is they acknowledge history, they had a follow-through with it, and then, I mean, it was clearly an accident, but when Orton turned around, you know, was fighting off Nexus and hit CM Punk in the nose, it was funny because Elise was like, did he really hit him? I was like, yeah, you can tell because that nose is just pouring right now. And then when he pulled his hands up and his tape's all bloody, and I was like, uh-oh, someone's getting in trouble because there's not supposed to be any blood. But it actually made at least a little bit, I mean, on accident, of course, but it made it look more, I mean, it made it seem more legit.
Yeah. I was fine with it. Obviously, we're not exactly PG prudes or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of weird. I was like, whoa, there's blood. it goes back to kind of, I don't understand why they can't do it every now and again. You know, it makes no sense to me why they can't use blood, you know.
Yeah.
In a situation like that, well, maybe not like that, but you know, maybe say at the Elimination Chamber down the last two guys or something. You don't need to have everyone get busted up or something like that.
Right.
But have battling it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a little bit of blood. So, whatever.
I guess with the PG, I mean, I guess you have to have a certain standards of it. So I guess that's why it's a big deal, you know.
Right.
But, no, I thought it was an effective angle. Actually, I thought that was one of the better angles on the show. Really, the whole CM Punk Nexus angle I thought was pretty good. Outside of David Otunga, he's basically going backstage, and he's like, all right, you have to take Sheamus out. He's like, do you really think I'm going to give up for Sheamus? I was like, are you Eric Young or something? I mean, is he trying to make him like an Eric Young character? It's just stupid. And then CM Punk's like, just have faith, blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, my God, are we still going through this with him? I don't know. It's just a stagnant character development, I guess. And it's like, just move along with it then. If you're going to keep doing the same thing, then get rid of him.
Yeah, for him, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because, he was the one that had Kane beat the guy up, basically.
Yeah, I think it was that one. Well, it was Mark Henry. Mark Henry beat up Sheamus. That was all of CM Punk's plan. So he got out of actually wrestling, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're jumping ahead because my favorite segment of the night actually took place before that, and that was Stone Granny favorite R-Truth coming out and saying, what's up, Green Bay, Wisconsin? That was so fucking awesome. Because I immediately went, they're not in Green Bay. I mean, that's like an old joke, like rock stars, like the old rock star joke. There was I remember a commercial a few years ago with a rapper saying, thank you, Detroit. And the guy comes over and he's like, man, we're in Cleveland. Like, so to see it, like, legit, holy shit, was that funny. And I know you said you were kind of underwhelmed with Michael Cole because he's been acting this way the whole time. And that seemed like he was genuinely having fun with that. Like, no one actually said, Cole, get on that, or Cole Magoof. As soon as he said, well, Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Green Bay, Michael Cole, I mean, there wasn't a second that went by that he just jumped all over him. It wouldn't stop. It was so goddamn funny.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is the fact that, I wasn't paying complete attention since Sean, since Sean was over here. And then because I had skipped the beginning, like, it didn't dawn on me that they weren't in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And just to really add, you know, a nice helping of, yeah, hey, fuck you, Steelers fan. You know, nothing like having to look at a bunch of goddamn Green Bay jerseys.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Cole might have been way better than I thought, but those three factors did not help me enjoy the segment there as much as possible.
Well, I know you missed it, but when the crowd started chanting Milwaukee and then started booing Truth, and then we're cheering when Mason Ryan won, I mean, and then booing when he got disqualified, I was like, this is the best segment that's happened on Raw in a long time.
It was just
outstanding. And Cena tries to cover for him later on. It's like, shut up. Ugh.
Yeah, no, that's when it finally hit me. It was when the crowd started chanting Milwaukee. I'm just like, oh my God, he really fucked that one up.
I'm just like, oh, it just spread. There was like, he said fucking Green Bay. I mean, I don't know if there's a rivalry with Milwaukee and Green Bay or not, but it was just great. I'm like, And the other part of me is like, I really hope he just got lambasted and he's not in the Elimination Chamber and he's now not going to be on TV for a while. It'd be so great. Now lose his job. I don't want him to get fired, but just I don't want him on TV anymore. So, what do you think of Mason Ryan?
They're certainly trying to get him off of TV.
Yeah, they had Mason Ryan, you know, go over strong on him.
Well, that was his first match. Like, what the hell was he going to do?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
He had to win big. He was the only guy that really took someone on.
Yeah.
I should really have the things in front of me.
It makes it more fun this way.
Yeah.
As the people listening are frustratedly yelling, it's this already, stupid. Just get out with it. I didn't think Mason Ryan was as bad as everyone thought. He had some goofy facial features, and then the real big thing to me was his finisher. It's just an awkward move to begin with, and it doesn't with him. It didn't look like
anyway.
I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's where he hooks the guy's leg around the back, around his shoulders, and then lifts him up basically by that leg. And it basically hangs him by his own leg.
Oh, when he was doing the little stretch afterwards.
Yeah, that's his finisher.
Oh.
At least that's how I took it. And I was just thinking, that's really bad. I mean, it doesn't look like a power move. When a guy that big does it, it doesn't look like a power move. It just looks like he's, like, holding on to the guy, you know?
Yeah, he just kind of looks like he's stretching him a little bit. And I'm sure that it'd be uncomfortable with a man that large doing that.
Well, no, I'm sure, if you think about it, but you know, it's mostly visual. So you want to have that move look. Like, I almost think he should be doing the torture rack. If you're going to put him in a submission style move, give him the torture rack or something. Let him flex those muscles and, I mean, you know, bulge the veins, all that sort of stuff, you know?
Right.
He's still pretty green, so I wasn't expecting the world out of him anyways. So it wasn't a disastrous debut. At least he didn't go out there and talk about Green Bay and then go out there and lay a turd in the ring. So, but the women's match, I know you wanted to gloss over this one because it wasn't that important, but they made a big deal out of Natalia going after Eve next week. Now we all know Awesome. We all know Awesome Kong is signed. So is this the opening to have her come down when you've got the champion? I mean, outside of Beth Phoenix, one of the little powerhouse girls. Then have her just go in and destroy both of them. You know, go over just debut strong.
Yeah, can you get them again?
Yeah, I was just saying, is this the point where they finally, you know, introduce Kong and have her go over strong on both of them?
Well, I mean, they could introduce her at any time they really please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of, I mean, they really need to have her come in as a heel. I guess if she destroys Two-Face Divas, that might help. But kind of pimping Eve at the last minute. Like, they almost really need to build up a woman a little bit more and then have her take some people out and then go into WrestleMania against that person is kind of a David and Goliath type of deal. Yeah. Or have the two Goliaths go at it and have her and Beth Phoenix wrestle.
Yeah. I mean, you could have her go in and do that with Beth, but I'm just thinking dichotomy-wise, you've got a much bigger woman and these smaller women who are athletic and, you know, Eve's a big girl in a good sense, obviously. But,
yeah.
So to me, I mean, I guess that's why, and like, they always try and pin Natalia as, you know, a little powerhouse. Well, seeing Big Bad Kong come out there and just crush her, you kind of get the point over without having to sacrifice Beth Phoenix at all yet.
Because, I mean, let's face it, that's if there's a money match, if you want to put it this way, for women, that's the money match, is Kong and Beth Phoenix. So,
yeah, no. I was saying to have Kong and Beth Phoenix at WrestleMania, but you almost
need,
like, no face woman has enough reputation right now to get destroyed by a heel and like Kong, if that's what they're going to do with her. And, you know, it's not really going to matter.
Yeah. I guess the only one that kind of would matter would be Kelly.
Yeah.
But then you're still right. I mean, even then, it's just like, well, she's the most over of the people who aren't over. So that was just a side note, something I thought about. And it really, I guess it's like the Triple H. Well, Triple H is coming back here. It's kind of not wishful thinking, but just kind of like, all right, well, it's got to happen sooner or later, so keep throwing theories out there. Speaking of theories, we'll do it this way. They showed another vignette for, what was it, 221-11?
Yes.
I don't think they could have made it any more clear that it's Undertaker, so everyone's getting anticipation of Sting is pretty much over. Even if he's been taken off TNA's website.
I kind of assumed that it was the Undertaker to start with, honestly. Like, trench coat, raining, Old West saloon type looking, well, maybe not a saloon, but Old West looking type house.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of seemed tailor made.
Yeah, I think the fan fervor is what made everyone talk of Sting. I don't know if it was. It's one of those things where people built up what it is without ever taking into consideration that it was never going to be that. Now, I guess I know, you know, they could have Undertaker come back and then all of a sudden Sting show up and, you know, something like that. But all intents and purposes, everything points to being Undertaker. And especially when they announced, like, on the arena's website he was going to make his return, and then they were also going to he'll be on SmackDown the next day. So it really does point out that it's him. So everyone, you know, getting this can finally, you know, curtail a little bit. With that, if it is Taker and they're going to bring him back for WrestleMania, who the hell is he going to fight? Who can he have a match with?
Well, we're back to one of the standbys or one of the new guys. You know, there's no reason he shouldn't be able to beat Kevin Nash at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's a small story for Kevin Nash. You know, he's mad about Shawn Michaels, but that just seems like placing the story and just forcing an issue that, you know, no one's really going to buy into.
Right. Well, and of course, you almost need to have that person on a, you know, in some type of a prominent role on TV. And having someone come in cold like Nash, honestly, at this point, would be kind of weird.
Yeah, especially because they don't acknowledge TNA exists for the most part. So he couldn't say, well, you know what, I've been tied up for the last 2 years, blah, 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 blah. You know, they don't do that sort of, or three, whatever it's been. So they don't do that sort of thing. So you can't even do it that way. So it kind of handcuffs the angle. The only other guy that really fits that's Triple H whenever he decides to come back. And even then, it's already been done at WrestleMania, and it wasn't that good to begin with. And then, so I just wonder, like, Wade Barrett seems to be a choice, but it's just, why would you throw Wade Barrett out there already? Other than Taker's old, so.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're, go ahead.
I don't know. They're kind of out of options, you know, with him. Like, they're not going to have much time to build it up. And I think that's why someone needs to be prominent on TV right now, so that it seems like they're on a roll and they can challenge for for the streak. And that's the reason why Sting was just such a ideal kind of a guy for that situation, because you don't really need much build up. It's kind of it's a big match that writes itself right away. Because even with Nash, honestly, Yeah, even with Nash, it's like, I don't know. I know I didn't watch much during that time frame, but, you know, they had to have had a couple of matches together.
Oh, yeah, well, no, they had Nash and Taker had a WrestleMania match already.
Oh,
so,
well, then,
yeah. It was right when Nash was getting ready to go to WCW. So, yeah, so it's just like, all right, that one's been done. I mean, very, it almost, I guess it's because they can blame it partly on the youth movement, if you want to put it that way. But it's because of a lack of them building up people. To be honest, a Randy Orton Undertaker match has a little bit of appeal, but, you know, that's already tied up with CM Punk. And plus, they already have that one now that I think about it, right?
What, Randy Orton?
Yeah, was that SummerSlam?
I'm not sure. I mean, they certainly had a long feud.
Yeah.
I don't think it was at WrestleMania.
Yeah. But no. So, I mean, but even then, it's like that's out of the possibility. So it'll be curious to see if. All right. It'll all signs point to it being Undertaker. If it's not, whatever. But it just seems overwhelmingly in that favor. So the big question after that now is going to be, well, who the hell are they going to have to, you know, have him face at WrestleMania? So what other segments were on the show? I mean, I know. Oh, we got the Miz and Jerry Lawler having their little tete-a-tete in the ring.
Yeah. No, it. Yeah, I mean, it's part of it. To me, it's part of a larger issue of whether Lawler's actually going to get a match at WrestleMania or not.
Yeah.
Because they can't have him main event. I'm sorry. As much as I like the King, they can't have him in the main event. So, I mean, there's not a chance in hell he's going to win the match. But they're doing a good job of hyping him up. They gave him a win, even if it was a cheap win, honestly.
Yeah.
And the dude knows how to talk. And he had a response. Like, everything that The Miz said about him, you know, that might reflect as similar to Lawler's career, Lawler had a good and fairly logical answer to.
Yeah.
So it made for a good segment. You know, when you have two talkers going well, it's going to end up as a good segment.
Yeah, it cracked me up when Jerry Lawler missed that something about a sucker punch, and Lawler stumbled. To me, it seemed like he stumbled when he goes, well, that's because you're a sucker, or I see you as a sucker. So I'm like, what? That's kind of weird. It was just awkward. It wasn't what I was expecting. But no, I mean, Lawler, that was a strong suit. He could talk people in the seats, and everything in his matches, I mean, we read the forums and all that, but, and I agree with it, Lawler makes everything look important. From getting into the ring to talk to The Miz to bucking up and, you know, saying, all right, let's bring it on or fight and during the match. So it's pretty fun to see because you've got The Miz who's still learning in the ring, you know, in matches with an old seasoned professional. And, you know, he's 61, so he's kind of old, but.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and I agree with you. There's no chance in hell Lawler wins unless he loses it the very next night, you know, do one of those things. But, I mean, and Eric kind of pointed this out, but to get Lawler a WrestleMania match, and after listening to him on commentary, it almost seems like Alex Riley is going to do something that costs, you know, getting Miz disqualified or have Lawler, you know, lose the match, and then he's got something to go after Alex Riley. Because that's the first time they pointed out that Lawler's never had a WrestleMania match was during this feud. So it just kind of points out that, you know what, maybe this is finally going to happen for him. And it should, because, I mean, if you look at almost all the greats, and, I mean, outside of, and I know we already brought him up, but Sting, anyone who's anyone has been on a WrestleMania show. I mean, and within, you know, the WrestleMania time span. And maybe not Nick Bockwinkel, he wasn't on. But there were so many guys that, even if it was one match, at least had, you know, one appearance, you know?
Right.
So it just doesn't seem fair that Jerry Lawler wouldn't have one. So.
Right.
I mean, for Christ's sake, the Sandman appeared at a WrestleMania, but Jerry Lawler hasn't. I mean, if you think about it, Sabu's been on one, Tommy Dreamer, and I know to certain fans, they're like, well, those are good. No, they're not good names, and you know they're not. So, even more of a perspective, Kevin Thorne was on a WrestleMania. Monty Brown, or whatever his name was, Marcus Corvan, we got to be in WrestleMania, and I know I'm taking them all from the same match, but just, you know, SD Jones. So, I don't know. After they brought up, it really doesn't seem fair. Lawler hasn't had one. So, hopefully all of this pomp and circumstance, you know, will make it so that he has one. So, trying to think, what else was on the show? I can't think of much of anything else.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a whole lot of information getting tossed around. I mean, because, and we glossed over it a little bit. Oh, that's right. Morrison beat the tar out of McGillicuddy. That's who, that's what happened there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Del Rio, whatever.
Del Rio makes his cup of coffee on Raw. Vicky Guerrero shows up for some reason. That was a waste.
Yeah.
That was a total waste of a segment. No, I mean, the rest of it was nothing. It was nice to see CM Punk had a plan for Nexus. Like, they're making him the center point, you know, getting involved in everything. From Randy Orton, Dolph Ziggler, and you figure he was, not Dolph Ziggler, sorry, John Morrison. You figure he was the guy behind the whole Mark Henry beating up Sheamus thing, and then in the end, John Cena just kicking him in the balls.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I didn't mind Cena wasn't on the show at all. It didn't seem like the show was missing anything, and then he shows up and it's like, oh yeah, it was missing the buzzkill. That's what the show was missing. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a decent episode of Raw, so.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a complete bomb because it, you know, it went by. And I think a couple of the funny things, you know, with my buddy Sean watching it all the time, at least seemingly all the time now. It was funny how, you know how some typical stuff that we make fun of, like Mason Ryan being big, like how they always like the big guys. Like,
mm-hmm.
He hasn't been able to, like, he's like, where is that big dude? Like, he knew kind of who he was already, and it's like, you know, a guy that kind of just watches a little bit. And it's
mm-hmm.
just like, ah, crap. And he's not even stupid, so I can't even make fun of him for being, you know, stupid or something like that, or some hillbilly redneck. Nah, can't really do that. So it's kind of funny that even, you know, someone like him would point out the big guy, and then, what the hell else was there that, there's, that, and it was kind of funny that he mentioned that he liked the longer matches too. He didn't like it when the guys didn't get to wrestle long enough. So it was kind of funny. He got kind of like a crowd, you know, a normal crowd WWE thing, which is big, strong guy. But then he liked something more where you got to tell a story in the ring.
Yeah.
So I found that kind of interesting. But, that's about it. I mean, nothing else was really worth talking about all that much, you know. It was there for what it was there for.
Yeah. All right, well, cool. Well, let's wrap this patio up then. So hopefully everyone enjoyed the rundown of Raw, since we tried to keep it, you know, specific to one show for a change. So I'm going to get out of here. So I'll get you later.
Okie doke, grandkids. It is time to grab a sippy time beer and pour a little bit out for stuntgranny.net and then drink the rest. Have a good night.